Emphasis of the connections. Last month in January, we studied three Sunday nights how to get connected with our church family, and we observed some really important things and some really critical matters where it comes to our relationship with one another and the fact that the local congregation is a family. The month of February is going to be dedicated to connecting with our youth. Now, in order for us to talk about something like that, I suppose one of the important things is to define what it is we're talking about, because as we all know, it's really hard at times to put those brackets in the right place when you start defining who's the youth, who are the older folks, who are the middle folks, who are the kids, who are the teenagers. I'm not so sure we really ought to put those brackets anywhere. We've got a lot of young people here at Redland Road, and we are really, really happy to have such a good group of young folks. We've got a lot of little boys and girls running around here, and sometimes I do literally mean running, and so watch out. We've got a good group of bigger ones. We've got a group of teenagers that show some tremendous promise. We've got some just out of high school folks that we're just wanting to hold on to them. We're really afraid to turn loose of them and let them go. So we've got a lot of different people in that category of our youth. And one of the things that we always need to do a better job is connecting with every group and every part of our church family. And let me go ahead and say that in the matter of young folks and old folks, in pretty much any congregation of the Lord's church, there's the potential for a great disconnect there. And there are a lot of problems that contribute to that. There are a lot of reasons why that's a great potential for disconnect. Sometimes the old folks don't want to be patient with the young folks. Sometimes the young folks don't want to be patient with the old folks. All of those kind of problems work both ways. We want to get connected. And we especially want to think about tonight and for the next few Sunday nights, getting connected with our youth. Now, I've enlisted the help of a guy. I don't even know his name. I don't think you're going to know him either. He's not anybody I recognize. But in preparing these slides and this lesson, I felt almost like I needed to give him a name, but there are several things that he's going to help me point out, some basic points, and I've picked out three of them that I want to start with tonight. And number one is the fact that the young people of a local church can be a great asset. They've got tremendous potential. We believe that that's a very important thing here at Redland Road, because we like to get our young folks involved as quickly as we possibly can. When our young men reach a point in their lives, and particularly when they've obeyed the gospel, we're immediately looking to them, and hopefully we've been training them even before that to be able to start leading prayers, closing prayers, reading scripture, doing those kind of things in our worship services. I've been to some churches where if you weren't 25 and had, hair on your face, you weren't ever asked to help serve or do anything in the worship assembly. And I don't think that's the way to go about it. The young people can be a great asset. Our young ladies, we've enlisted our young girls in roles of helping and assisting in our Sunday school program and being helpers and helping to lead the little guys in the classes. And it's really something that is, it's very rewarding to see that kind of involvement. I don't want to give you the impression that we've got it all figured out here at Redland Road, because we don't. I don't think anybody does, but we do need to work on it. Young people can be a tremendous asset, and I'm a firm believer. Our elders here are firm believers in utilizing our young people in every way that we possibly can to help strengthen and fortify this church family. There is also something else we need to remember, and that's the fact that old people were young people at one time. And I think that's something we don't think about as much as we should. You know, through the years, I maybe have been in a position where I was party to some of the complaints and things that people would have in the local church. And people would come to me and say, well, you know what's wrong with the young folk? You know what's wrong with our youth group? You know what's wrong with this group or that group and whatever? And I'm always wanting to say to the old folks, you were young too one time. Think about how it was. We're not talking about excusing misconduct. We're not talking about offering some reason for misbehavior. But we need to all remember, there was a time when many of us were the youth group in some church somewhere. We don't need to be acting like it all started somewhere after we got through. That leads us to another very important point, and that is the fact that if all goes well, our young people are going to be old people one day too. Maybe I should revise that to say that if all goes well, our young people are going to be old folks in the church one day. That's our hope and our prayer, that our young folks are ready to step right into the shoes of those of us who are in the footsteps of, don't want to wear somebody else's dirty shoes, but into the footsteps of those of us who are older. They're going to be there one day, and so we need to be thinking about how much effort we're putting into the matter of getting them ready and helping them to be able to do, as we say sometimes, what we do now, as though we're the only ones that are doing anything. How much have we thought about that? Now, let's be clear. The Bible is filled with instruction, exhortation to young people. And this sermon is not a sermon to the young people. It's a sermon about the young people. But one of the beautiful things about Scripture is we learn a lot about what the young people can be by looking at what the Bible tells them to do. There are three passages that I want to just mention very briefly because I promised not to take my usual hour and a half tonight. 1 Timothy 4:12. Got your Bible? Turn there with me. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. This, of course, comes from Paul's letter to the young man Timothy, who was, we don't know exactly how old he was. He wasn't very old. He was old enough to be handling a tremendous amount of responsibility where the church is concerned. And Paul was constantly telling him things that he needed to observe and do. And 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Now, there's something there in addition to the fact that young people are given some really important instruction here. There is also the validation of the young people and their capacity and their ability because they are able to set an example for the believers in these areas: speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Turn over a page or two in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And here we find Paul touching on something that really sounds like it's just right out of modern times when he tells Timothy, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, there's a tremendous value of validation to the idea that young people are able and need to be carrying a tremendous responsibility of being the kind of example that God wants them to be. You can turn to the book of Proverbs, and if you'll notice there, turn over there with me and notice what the first seven chapters start out with. If you look at chapter 1, the wise man says things over and over again like, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Chapter 2 begins with, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you." And it goes on, chapter 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." Chapter 5, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom." Chapter 6, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor and have given the pledge for a stranger, if you're snared in the words of your mouth," and he goes on and on to describe some real life situations. Chapter 7, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you." Don't tell me that young folks are not important when you consider all of that instruction from those first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. How do we get connected? How do we stay connected? How do we strengthen the connection with our youth? Let's consider four simple things. Number one, be willing to communicate. Be willing to communicate. I've lived a long time in the real world. I have spent my entire preaching career, ever since I sang in the chorus in Alabama Christian College way back in 1900 and none of your business, I've always had a secular job. And so I have rubbed shoulders in the real world with every kind of people. And I can say without a doubt that perhaps some of the greatest problems that ever arise in the workplace are problems that are related to communication. I have been married to Beth for lo these many years, and I can see that some of the biggest problems that could ever come into a marriage, in anybody's marriage, are problems that result from poor communication. And I've been a member of the Lord's church since long before that, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt that some of the biggest difficulties, some of the biggest disturbances to settle started out with poor communication. One of the leading comments that old folks say about young folks is they're hard to communicate with. And you know, I'm always tempted to ask, wonder where they learned that from. We need to put a little bit more effort into communicating. Listen, I'm as old school as they come. And I like things the old-fashioned way. And I'll admit that there's a lot of terminology, there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of all that kind of stuff that the young people are just so absorbed in that I don't always relate to very well. You know who needs to change? You know who needs to try harder? You know who needs to do better? I do. It's me. Because you see, if I go through my life saying that it's always the other guy, it's always the other side, it's always the other party that needs to change, that needs to do better, that needs to come around to my convenience, I'm going to have a miserable life. We're not talking about changing the rules. We're not talking about throwing God's word out the window. We're talking about trying harder to relate to one another and to communicate with one another. Be willing to communicate. Number two, be consistent. I got to tell you, this point came to me driving in a little white car with a big logo all over the side of it. And I'm not going to call the name of this company because you'd recognize it. You've seen them around here. In fact, I looked them up on the internet when I got home. It made such an impression on me. And I found pictures in there in their advertisements of the guy that was in that car. Let me tell you what he was driving. He was driving a little white car, and on the back of the car it said, "Beware, student driver." And then this big logo on the side of this driving academy. And a lot of advertising slogans and so forth pertaining to his business of training young people and non-driving people how to drive and how he would, you've seen the best, now call the, or you've seen the rest, now call the best, you know, that kind of stuff, 1-800, whatever. And this guy, I can tell you exactly where I was. This guy pulls up in the lane beside me, and he's going by me, driving faster than I am, and I glance over because we're coming up to a light, and this fella has his cell phone in one hand, obviously with the speaker device turned on. He's talking in his speakerphone. Between these two fingers, he's got a credit card. That's what caught my attention first. He's holding a credit card, and then he's holding a sheet of paper, a printed sheet or something. I'm not sure what it was. And it appeared that maybe he was making hotel reservations or whatever while riding down the road. This driving school teacher. I'm thinking, this don't look good. This is not good advertisement. We need to be consistent. We need to make sure that our example matches up with our claim. When we're heard to talk about what Christians ought to be and ought to do, we need to be seen doing that and being that. Because those kind of things really get the attention of our young people. And then number three, respect goes both ways. Ever since I was a teenager, the world has bemoaned the fact that young people are not being taught to respect, not being taught to respect the law, not being taught to respect police officers, not being taught to respect their parents, not being taught to respect the Word of God, not being taught this, that, or the other. It seems like it's been a perpetual problem, almost a universal problem, a diminishing level of respect. So I'm not trying to say that that's not a real problem. I'm not trying to say that somewhere along the line, some young folks have gotten derailed off into this radical mindset that wants to be against everything that anybody older than them comes up with. But that does not paint all of the youth of the church with a broad brush. That's not a universal problem in every congregation, or so far as I know, in any congregation. And we need to remember that we need to respect our young folks. And that's one of the ways that they'll learn to respect others. We don't need to respect bad behavior. We don't need to respect improper conduct. We don't need to respect sin. But we owe our young folks some consideration in a good way. Number four. As soon as you can, take off the training wheels. Did you have training wheels on your bike? I didn't either. I'm sure I had an old hand-me-down bicycle from a cousin or somewhere, you know. Four other people ahead of me had learned how to ride on it, and it had lost its training wheels and all of those kind of accessories long before it got to me. But I had friends that did, and I used to think, that's pretty neat. But then I always remember those who seemed to never want to take their training wheels off. Our young people don't need to go through their lives with training wheels on. We need to give them some responsibility. We need to teach them how to handle it, and then we need to turn some things over to them, things that they can handle. And as they develop the ability that's necessary to handle the little things, then we can give them the bigger things. And we're helping them to grow when we do that. Take off the training wheels as soon as the time comes. Not too early, but don't leave them on there for life. These are just a few observations, and considering the fact that we've still got two or three Sundays left in this month, I've saved a little bit that I need to say on some other occasions as well. But I appreciate your kind attention. I appreciate the fact that we've got the Faulkner Chorus here with us tonight. I appreciate the fact that we've got a lot of visitors who've come because of them. We need to be really considerate of one another, and especially right now, of our youth. If you're not a child of God, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, why not do that tonight? If you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.